The title of this message this morning is Death to Christians. And I don't think that it sounds very encouraging. Death to Christians. But the truth of the matter is, daily, followers of Jesus Christ, those who worship the living God, are being persecuted, tortured, imprisoned, and killed. And we in the Western world or in Canada are sometimes complain that some of our rights are being taken away. In other countries, not only their rights are not there, but their lives are taken away. Millions of Christians are persecuted throughout the world because they are followers of Christ. Christians are persecuted even here in Canada, believe it or not. A teenage Canadian student was suspended for wearing a yellow t-shirt to school that read, "Life is wasted without Jesus." His name is William Sunimer in Nova Scotia. All he was doing was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Life is wasted without Jesus." This is in Canada. You can wear a t-shirt that says all kinds of terrible things. You can wear a t-shirt that insults people, but you cannot wear a t-shirt that says, "Life without Christ is wasted." In Macedonia, after some Muslims were arrested in connection to a series of murders of Christians, thousands of fellow Muslims demonstrated after Friday's prayers, shouting slogans like "Death to Christians" and calling for jihad. Middle East Forum, May 2012. Lebanon. A 24-year-old woman, the daughter of a Shiite cleric who was physically and psychologically tortured by her father for converting to Christianity 3 years ago, managed to escape and got baptized by a Christian priest who was abducted and interrogated to disclose the whereabouts of the renegade woman. In connection to this, Muslim assailants fired gunshots at the house of another priest at the church. This is part of an escalating pattern of violence against local Catholics, said the priest, the local priest. This was in Middle East Forum, May 2012. In Eritrea, or it's reported in Eritrea, activists taking part in a protest outside the Eritrean embassy in London, England, revealed that some 2,000 to 3,000 Christians are currently detained in Eritrea without charge or trial. Several Christians are known to have died in notorious prison camps, and thousands of Eritreans flee their country every year, some falling into the hands of abusive traffickers and are held hostage in torture camps in the Sinai Desert, pending payment of exorbitant ransom or the forcible removal of their organs. Egyptian Christians have been beaten, shot, stabbed to death in their homes, and churches have been firebombed by angry mobs of Muslims, CBN News. Before the toppling of Saddam Hussein, Mosul, a city, was home to some 75,000 Christians, but now the number has dropped to around 25,000 Christians, and their homes are set on fire and firebombed, bombs placed in their cars. Other Christian families are receiving letters threatening them to leave Iraq or be kidnapped or killed. Muslim persecution of Christians, August 12, 2012. In Indonesia, a predominantly Christian neighborhood was attacked for several days by unidentified persons who set fire to homes and cars. Dozens of Christian families fled their homes, many fearing the involvement of Islamic extremist groups. In Iran, a prominent house church pastor remains behind bars even as his family expresses concerns that he may die from physical condition and continued abuse and beatings, leading to internal bleeding and other ailments. Middle East Forum, 2012. In Greece, Abet Hasman, the deputy mayor of Patras, who recently passed away, left a message to be revealed only in his obituary that though born to Muslim parents in Jordan, he was secretly baptized a Christian, demonstrating how some Muslims who convert to Christianity, knowing the consequences of apostasy and opt for secrecy. IMEF, May 12, 2012. In Mali, ever since the government was overthrown in a coup, the church in Mali faces being eradicated, especially in the north, where rebels want to establish an independent Islamist state and drive Christians out. There have been house-to-house searches for Christians who might be in hiding, church and Christian property. Middle East Forum, May 2012. Did you know that every year 150,000 Christians die because of their Christian faith? This is happening all around the world in dramatically increasing numbers. But we in the West or Western world don't know much about these persecuted Christians or the persecuted Christians, and many don't even care. What do our lives look like in the light of hundreds of Chinese pastors living in prison or Christians in Southeast Asia suffering in labor camps because of their Christian faith? In countries where Christians are persecuted, many of them lose their lives and churches. Here, the enemy is more subtle. Christians lose their faith. And the gospel, as preached and as presented, has no effect anymore on people's lives because the enemy has compromised the message. And what I mean by that is, it's not that the message has lost its power, but because the message has been compromised, has lost its power, or has no effect, I should say. And here you see churches and Christians just going on with their lives, not caring really who and what, who is being persecuted and who dies for their faith. Instead of being burnt or shut down by the enemies of Christ, churches here are torn down by Satan's false prophets and their followers. You see, you're exaggerating. Well, to be honest with you, I had more countries, I had more examples of people being killed and persecuted for their for their faith in Jesus, but I thought you'd be bored just listening to numbers. And yet the truth of the matter is, right now, there are thousands and thousands of Christians being persecuted, tortured, and imprisoned. And we don't even care or don't even think about them, and our churches are empty today because people are busy going their own way. These people who are in prison not only believed in Jesus, not only they surrendered their life to Jesus, but they surrendered their bodies, their homes. Their homes are being burned. Their families are being killed and tortured. And here you may say this morning, well, you're not very pleasant with this message, but there's nothing pleasant about being tortured and being imprisoned and being raped and being sold and having your organs removed because you are a Christian. The gospel as preached and presented has no effect on people's lives because the enemy has compromised the message, I said. And what do I mean by that? If we are not touched by the Holy Spirit, if we don't feel His presence in us, and if we don't reflect Him, then we have lost the ability to bring this joy and the peace that Christ brings. And for this kind of peace, and for which this kind of peace people give their lives in other countries, we are taking it for granted. Satan has come up with new enemies. The enemy is found now in the church. The enemy now is found on the internet. The enemy now is found on television broadcasts. And the enemy is found on radio. And what is this enemy? The enemy is the false prophecies, false teaching. And instead of persecuting Christians now, we just take away that little faith. Or when I say we, that little faith has been taken away and confusion is brought in. The devil doesn't care how you lose your life. The devil doesn't care what happens to your faith. The devil doesn't care whether you are tortured in prison or tortured within your heart when you go to bed at night because you are so confused with the messages. And when I speak to people, not only here in Montreal, but everywhere that the gospel is being preached falsely presented to them, people are asking the question, what is the truth? The truth will set us free, the Bible says, and yet the truth is not found anymore because it's so confusing. But while evil men and imposters are busy deceiving and inventing new and new ways to attack and persecute the church, the Holy Spirit is adding new numbers to the invisible universal church, the body of Christ. The church today is growing 3 times faster than ever before. You say you're contradicting yourself. You may say that you just said that Christians by the hundreds of thousands are being killed. And how can you say that the church is growing now faster than ever before? Because we are so uninvolved with the work of God. Because we are so self-centered, we don't know what's happening. And when you hear people in other countries, and I always mention China because China is the best example right now we have of millions of people accepting the Lord and surrendering their lives to Christ. There are more Christians, born-again believers in China than I would say anywhere else. You have Korea, and you have other countries, African countries, Latin American countries, that the Holy Spirit is working and people are turning to Christ. Even though their lives may be in danger, even though in China you're not allowed to carry your Bible, you're not allowed to to start a church, you're not allowed to even speak to anyone about Christ. There are more people accepting the Lord because what is happening is the change of lives they see. They see Christ reflected through their daily living. They see the chances and the risks the believers are taking to reach out and bring the good news, the gospel. Let's remember that Jesus said that we will be persecuted as he was. There is nothing new about this. Jesus never said that when you become a born-again believer, everything will be fine, even though that's what the many messages are on television today, that the moment you become a born-again believer, things change, and their life now has a meaning. Your life has a meaning, but not the kind of meaning they talking about, meaning they mean you'll have your bills paid and your health restored and your friends will be all around you. That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Does that mean that every Christian will be persecuted? No. Does that mean that every Christian will be sick? No. Does it mean that we will not have joy and we will not enjoy the things that God gives? No. That's not what it means. It means that the inner peace and the inner joy and the serenity and the assurance of knowing where we're going, it's more important and it's the main reason why we follow Christ. How can we not worship a God that has created us and sustained us? Our faith is not a religion. Man-made religions have never brought anyone closer to God. As a matter of fact, have pushed them away from God. But faith in Jesus Christ is what we have and should have. The church is a living organism, not an organization. In Romans 12:5, we read, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all others." We claim to be Christians, and we are. We teach that we should love our neighbor. But Jesus said, love your enemy. But here we can't even love another person who is of a different color, different race. Yesterday we were visiting a family and I shared what happened one day here. Someone had come from the southern states and he looked around and he said, "That's very interesting. You have blacks and whites worshiping together." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because back home, we have two Baptist churches. At this corner is the white Baptist church and the other corner is the black Baptist church." And I said, "How is it going to be in heaven?" He stared at me and he said, "I don't know." Well, you know, if we can't be a family, regardless of our skin color or how our eyes are, or how our nose is. Armenians have longer nose. Blacks have a little flatter. Others have noses that go up. So what? We all are brothers in Christ and sisters, right? Also we see in Ephesians 5:30, "For we are members of his body." Now if we are members of his body, that means that we're not independent. We are interdependent. We are not an organization. Although the churches have become organizations and big businesses, the church is the body of Christ, living, growing, and operating, all for the benefit of each other. Should be. And as members of the same body, we must be concerned for each other. Apostle Paul reminds them and us about the persecuted Christians in Hebrews 13:3. "Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. If we were to close our eyes for 1 minute and just put ourselves in a Turkish prison, in a Chinese prison, and in a prison in Eritrea or in Egypt, or somewhere else, and be beaten and mistreated and raped for our faith, what would happen to our faith? Here we can't even take a little harassment. They remove the cross from the wall and we think that all our rights are gone. With the cross up there, we didn't have any rights and we were not any better Christians. Even if you put 20,000 crosses here, we're not going to be better Christians unless Christ is in our life. And if He is in our life, then we will be able to enjoy every second, every breath we take, because we will know that it comes from Him. And what can we do then? What can we do here in Canada for them? You may ask, and the answer would be, well, we must pray for them and help them where we can, but also not forget them. I believe the worst fear those in prison for their faith have is the belief or the fear that they have been forgotten, that Christians don't care, that other Christians don't pray for them, that other Christians don't even realize that there are hundreds of thousands of Christians being persecuted. You may once again say, so why are you preaching this? How would that change my life? Well, if we start praying together, if we start looking for ways how we can send a letter, put on Facebook or somewhere, if there are Christians who have access to it, and tell them that we know and we care and we are praying for them. And because we are members of the same body of Christ, their pain and their burdens must be our concern too. The Bible says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for the liberty we enjoy in this country. Thank You for the freedom. And yet we are so guilty of taking things for granted and not caring about other believers who not only are deprived from some of our rights, their rights, but they are being persecuted and even tortured and killed. We pray for them. Each one of them is precious soul for You in Your eyes. And we pray for those who are in prison or being tortured or being threatened or suffering because of their faith. I know, Lord, that there isn't very much we can do other than we collectively, as a family, a small family of believers, come to You for an petition and ask You, please, to help them. And may not only pray for them, but look into our own lives. Lord, help us to do that and see whether we can extend a helping hand to a neighbor, to someone who is imprisoned in his or her own personal prison, and bring some good news to them. I ask all these things in Your blessed name. Amen.